This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. I'm rolling up my window because I have been sitting here waiting for my son-in-law, because we're re-recording episode 52 today. So for those of you who are paying attention, I'm actually going to turn on the air conditioning a little bit because it's a little warm. This is my wonderful son-in-law, Alan.
Now, you know, St. Augustine said,
yes,
oh, this is how I talk in normal life. I'm assuming that you don't have it recording yet.
Yes, we are recording.
Oh, are you?
I'm checking to make sure we're recording.
That's what St. Augustine said. He said,
make sure you can get the record button.
If you're going to be recording a podcast, make sure you hit the record button.
Make sure, because we did this 2 weeks ago. We're actually going to do the same topic. We did this 2 weeks ago. And I was in charge of hitting the button. There is a little red light on there, right?
It sure looks like
okay,
it's
okay, good.
Is it supposed to be green?
No, it's supposed to be red.
Okay.
That's for recording.
We are recording.
We are.
So what are we talking about?
Well, actually, we have to tell them why 2 weeks ago it was 52B, and then this week it's 53, and now we're back to 52A. So...
Yes.
So we recorded this last week. No, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
And then we recorded a B section because Alan had a very good idea. He said, well, why don't we go another one driving back to my house? Because once we get this done, I've got to drive Alan back to his house. And we may just put a 52C out there as well. We'll see. If we run out of things to talk about.
No 52C.
Yeah, why not?
Because I don't have anything prepared. Not that I prepared for last, it was all off the top of my head.
Oh, come on, we can do something. Anyways, so then I got back to the home and there was great sadness because I brought up the recorder and it was sadness because it hadn't recorded. So then Alan very graciously said, well, we'll just run back over there and do it again. But I said, no, we'll just do it the next week. And then Alan had a fundraiser the next week. So now we're doing it again. So this is officially... the 1 year anniversary, even though it's not.
Which is why I'm here.
Which is why Alan's here. He is my special guest star appearance person. Yes.
Doesn't say much for your podcast if I'm the best you can get.
Well, you know, there's a limited audience on this podcast. I think it consists of 2 or 3 people.
You should track how many downloads you have.
Oh, I don't care. You know, I my opinion is Jesus said that he came for the few.
So, he said that somewhere?
He did.
Okay.
Didn't he say that there's a wide path and a narrow path, and few are those who find the narrow path?
Right. Yes. So, okay, so we should get started.
So, why are you nervous? You afraid we're going to go into a 52C? No.
Well, I'm actually a little concerned because this is going to be the first week that you actually didn't record a podcast. Your 1 year anniversary, I mean, for the last year, you've done a podcast every single week.
I have.
Week.
I have.
Not missed it once.
Not once.
This week, you should be on 54.
54, I should
be.
But
you're going back and doing 52A.
But that's okay.
Are you
excited
about that?
No. People need to be flexible. It's like when you're watching Farscape on DVD. Because when you're watching Farscape on DVD, apparently their production schedule and their air date schedule was different. And typically when they produce DVDs, they go by the production schedule. And so if that gets out of skew, like what is with Farscape, you're watching along the episodes. And like I was watching along and all of a sudden the ship was completely burned. And I had no idea why the ship was all burned up. It just started up. And I was looking at it going, why is this ship all burned? What did I miss? And then... I watched that DVD and then started watching the next DVD and I realized, he went through on red. I realized that by the time I got to the end of the next 3 episodes, I was actually going to know why the ship was burned. So this is like that. Mm. Yes, it has to do with the production schedule was not in skew with the air date schedule. So we're okay. Anyways, so 2 weeks ago, the topic was inclination to imitate, the inclination to imitate. And I've been reading this book. I had read it a couple of months ago called Nudge. And there was a chapter in that book called Following the Herd. And there were some very interesting things in this chapter. It was things that I had known. But I had written down some notes, and Alan can actually read the notes because he is not driving. Yes. So, for instance, these are some of the things that they noted in the book Nudge in the chapter Following the Herd.
Okay. First one. Teenage girls who see their friends having babies are more likely to become pregnant themselves.
Yeah, and so we go, oh, yeah, okay, well, we understand that, because teenagers have that natural inclination just to, you know, follow along.
If your friends gain weight, you are more likely to gain weight.
Yeah, and that's everybody. If your friends gain weight, you're more likely to gain weight. And there were a bunch of other ones, but then this one I found really interesting.
Federal judges on three-judge panels are influenced by other votes. Republican judges vote more like Democrats if the other Democrats are outranking them, or if there's more of them.
No, if there's more of them. There's a three-panel judge, and so if you have a Republican and two Democrats, the Republican will tend to vote more Democratic, and if you have two Republicans and a Democrat, the Democrat will tend to vote more Republican. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yes. So you actually, and they've tracked this through as they've done analysis on it, and it's very interesting. There is actually this inclination to imitate those around us. And I think one of the really cool experiments that I read about in this chapter was the experiment with the three lines on the wall. And so they bring this guy's dog. I always love this dog. These dogs are always standing. Sorry, you can't see because it's radio. It doesn't have any pictures. But there's one guy I drive by every Thursday that he has these two dogs that are just always
three
dogs that are sitting there looking at him. So anyways, the experiment was that they would have a big piece of cardboard, poster board, and they would have a line drawn on it. And then they would project three lines onto the wall behind the presenter. And then they would get people in the room. They would hold up the white cardboard with the line on it. And they would say, now, you need to tell us which line on the wall matches the length of the line on the card. And this is not hard. Not hard at all. In fact, when they just let everybody answer silently, write it down, almost everyone got it right every single time. And then they started staging stuff where they would bring in people and they would have some of the other ones around them get vocal and say, oh no, I think it's line number two. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's line number two. And they said in about a third of the experiments, people would choose the wrong line simply because everyone else in the room said that's the line. And they even they've done MRI studies. And when people are choosing the line, they truly believe that that line is the correct line to choose simply because of this inclination to imitate and because of what's going on in addition to that. One of the stories that Alan doesn't know is coming because it's not on the notes, but this week I thought it was a great story. So have you heard about Erica Badu? Erica Badu? Erica, rings any bells? Erica
no.
Badu Dealey Plaza? Dallas? Okay, there's a singer named Erica Badu. She was a hip-hop kind of a singer. They had some name for her in the 90s. Apparently she was more famous in the 90s. Anyways, so she's still doing music and that kind of stuff. Just put out a record, was wanting to do a music video for her record. She decides that she's going to do this kind of very organic, all in one take video for her record, and they have to come up with an idea. Okay, the idea that they come up with is they're going to go down to Dealey Plaza. And she is going to walk the road going up to Dealey Plaza. And then when she gets to Dealey Plaza, which of course is where John F.K. was shot, she is going to jolt like she's been shot and fall down on the ground. And then they will digitize this kind of blue stuff coming out of her mind and spelling out groupthink. Because the whole video is supposed to be about groupthink, how groupthink causes the assassination of the individual. The fact that we have this inclination to imitate, and in my words, and it's enforced or there is pressure to follow the herd, that in her definition is groupthink. And so that assassinates the individual. So her whole goal in this video is to show how that groupthink assassinates the individual. That's what she said to justify. Now, I've left out the punchline. The punchline is when she's walking down the street to Dealey Plaza, she's going to take off her clothes. She's going to take off all her clothes in broad daylight without the street being shut down.
Really?
Really.
Has she done this already?
She has done this. There was a big stir about it this week. That she and this cameraman, they didn't get any permits. They didn't do anything. They just walked out there. The cameraman starts shooting. And she's walking along, singing her song. And as she's doing it, she's ripping off her clothes. And eventually, she is buck naked. Standing down there with all the tourists. And then she jolts like she gets shot, and she falls over. And then she got up and run off. Now, somebody said the police were called, as probably they should have been. Right. And there was, like, this thing about what she did was illegal, blah, 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 blah. But I was listening to her explaining why she had done this, and listening to people talk about how it was art and all this kind of thing. And I got very amused because her whole explanation was that this was supposed to be a demonstration of how groupthink assassinates the individual. And then I thought, but really, what groupthink is in play here? Isn't it the groupthink that says in our culture, in order for women to get attention, what they should do is take their clothes off? So I'm like, well, I don't think you accomplished your point there. Even more amusing to me, after I heard this happening, and I went and saw clips of the video and that kind of thing, and I thought, well, I wonder what she's talking about in the song. Is the song about this whole groupthink thing? I think the song was called Window Seat. So I went out and I read the lyrics, and as near as I can tell, the song is about a woman who's left someone because she's not getting enough attention, and the song is about her wanting this person to come back and pay more attention to her. It's not like about groupthink or anything at all. It's not some big philosophical treatise. It's basically just pay attention to me and make me feel special.
Right.
So, where did this idea come from that she should go down to a public street and walk along and take off her clothes, and that that would be daring and provocative in a piece of art?
Yeah.
Yep. This is what we call following the herd.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, we also talked about another example of following the herd. Let me back up a little bit. There's actually some interesting things you can do with groupthink or this whole business of the inclination to imitate, because a couple of weeks ago, I had made a statement in the A, which we did not record, that I felt like this imitation to imitate, there we go, actually came from the flesh, but then I backed up from it in part B. Because I don't think it does. I think there is an innate desire to imitate. Because I think some good things come out of it. Do you want to talk some? Things?
We did that all in part B. Part A is you. My job in part A is to smile and nod and say, yes, I agree.
Yeah, they can't hear you smile,
and
though.
To laugh.
And to laugh at my jokes. That's why. He's a good son-in-law. I'm telling you, he's a good son-in-law. I am privileged to have someone to talk to. Anyways, one of the interesting things about this whole groupthink and herd is that you can make applications to it. For instance, in Montana, as opposed to just trying to tell young people, don't smoke cigarettes, what they did was they had a campaign that said 70% of students are tobacco-free. And they turned it around, and instead of just constantly seeing pictures on television and in media and on YouTube of young people smoking and getting smashed and all these type of things, they turned it around and said, well, you know, most are not doing that. And they said there was actually a statistically significant drop in the number of young people who were smoking in Montana because of the campaign. So that's pretty interesting. So it can be used for good as well. We actually, several months ago as I was reading this, in our meetings that we would have for business and stuff, I was telling them about this study. And so then it got to be kind of a running joke after that, because every time there was a decision that needed to be made, somebody would pipe up and say, well, you know, most people would consider this the best way to do things. And then we would all chuckle and then go on. We try to have a little fun in our business meetings. So anyways, though, a couple of weeks ago, following on this idea of this group think about what women should or should not do in the media, there was the whole story of Rielle Hunter. And you, of course, remember Rielle Hunter?
I thought it was Riley Hunter.
It may be Riley Hunter. I don't know.
Rielle Hunter.
Maybe Rielle. I don't know. Anyways, this was the woman who had the affair with John Edwards while he was married to a wife who had cancer. That probably is the topic for another show. But anyway, so she stayed quiet all of this time, and then she decided, now that he's come out and acknowledged that, in fact, the child was his, and he's getting a divorce from his wife, and all things are moving forward, that she would come out and sort of having a coming-of-age or coming-out article about her so that people could get to know her, as opposed to, you know, all the vilification that she's had in the media. So they do this article, and they send over a photographer who comes to her house, and they do this big, huge photo shoot. And then they publish the article, and they publish the photos, and suddenly she is aghast. She's just aghast. In fact, she came out once the article came out and said that she was actually repulsed by the photographs, because she had decided that the person she would sell her story to was GQ. Gentleman's Quarterly, which is known for having their little hoochie-coochie pictures in it. And they sent a photographer over to her house, and she claims that she thought they were just taking headshots, but in order to do these headshots, there's a whole series of them where she's basically just wearing a man's shirt with a string of pearls, and she's sort of, you know, leaned back on beds. And it's like, what? What did you think these shots were going to be like? In fact, there was a very hysterical quote that one blogger had, because for some reason the photographer thought it would be good, as in her scantily clad attire, if she would be sitting on her child's bed that was mounded up with stuffed toys. Character toys like from Sesame Street and from Barney and from all these things. And they had her sitting next to these toys. And honestly, if you go out and find the photo, it's really hysterical once you hear the quote from this blogger. And I have the quote down here. This first one is a question, so that's why I put "so you" in front of it. And you're obviously going to have to. Alan is going to delete a word after "flashing." He'll just say "flashing something." So here's the quote.
Note to self: so you don't want a picture published of yourself nearly flashing something next to Barney and Kermit. Don't pose for a picture nearly flashing your blank next to Barney and Kermit, especially if Barney and Kermit appear to be enjoying themselves.
And when you look at the picture, she's sitting there with her back against the wall, with her legs curled up, with the shirt barely covering her, and she's got this seductive look on her face, and Barney and Kermit are leaned over on her leg, and of course, they're both smiling, so... So what happened here? What happened with Erykah Badu? What happened with Riley? Was it Riley? How'd you
think? I don't know. Hunter?
Riley Hunter?
Rielle Hunter.
Rielle Hunter. What happened? Well, there was all of these pictures that they had seen in the media about how women act when a camera is pointed at them, how women are supposed to pose themselves, how women are supposed to project themselves in order to be accepted in the world. And all those things come down to you need to be sexy and attractive. And then the photographer comes over, or the videographer comes over, and all of a sudden something internally starts to kick in all of these images and distort them and tell them, well, this is just what people do, and you know, if you don't do this, then everybody will think you look frumpy. I'm getting my mail. And I think that while we do have a inclination to imitate that does come from God as a designer because we need it, because that's how we learn, I think what also happens then is that the flesh takes that inclination to imitate and it turns into what Erica Badu would call groupthink. That there is this attitude and this pressure that the flesh brings to bear on each of us individually. Oh, you can't wear that, because if you wear that, people will see you and you need something better to wear. You know, oh, you can't go out in, you know, that dumpy old car like that, because if you do, no one will think you're successful. So you need to buy the bigger car. And it just goes on and on and on and on. So while there are certain things that are really good things that should be imitated, there's a whole bunch of other things in our lives that are really just the result of the back pressure that the flesh is pulling into our lives and is using this inclination to imitate to push us towards those things. And so I think it would be a good idea if we as individuals, when we were feeling this pressure to do this or to do that, to really stop and say, you know, where's this pressure coming from? Because if Erica Badu had just stopped to think a minute and said, how is me taking off my clothes any different than any other young starlet out there taking off her clothes and being objectified?
Right.
How is that any different? If she had just stopped and thought, then maybe she could have come up with something else that would have represented groupthink besides just taking off her clothes.
Right.
This is Phil Ferrand, and we have made it home.